although keto is not a classical weight loss diet, it certainly can help a person lose body fat by reducing insulin, increasing the mobilization of stored body fat, and decreasing appetite. Yes, yes, yes. I feel like we've said this before. I don't know specifically geared towards keto, but the idea of more low carb.
Yeah.
When I tried that, when I kind of decided I wanted to go more of a low carb diet, I've always found that I have a decreased appetite, for sure. And if people who want to get into fat burning mode, which is kind of the goal, it's what you want to do. If you go into a lot of people, being a trainer, people come to me and say, I want to lose weight. I can tell you right now, exercise, it's good. It's going to help you. It's going to help you in a lot more ways than just losing burning fat.
Right.
What you got to do is you got to do it with your diet. And this type of approach can definitely help that.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys listening each week. Please head to the iTunes store and give us that rating review. And you guys, when you leave that rating and review, we'll mention it on an upcoming episode in our listeners talk back section.
Yeah, who doesn't want their little, like, 15 seconds of fame or whatever it is? If you give us a longer review, be longer than 15 seconds. So
that's right.
It's worth doing.
Mm-hmm. And after you leave that rating and review, share the podcast with a friend, and also visit addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. That's our website. We got all our show notes on there that gives you more details about the topics we talked about in this episode, and has our very important shop page, because that has the ATF approved products on there. And one product you will see on there is our essential oils that we use here at home that are a big part of our life, I should say.
Yeah, and the version that we get on Amazon is a nice balance, because you can spend a lot of money on essential oils, but especially if you're just starting out, getting like this nice little multi-pack, I think that's what we used when we were in the hospital for 3 days.
Yeah, I know.
With having Ella, and you were the like talk of the nurse station, I think. Everybody kept asking.
Yeah, it's a scent DJ.
Yes, scent. Sorry, so you're the scent DJ.
Right. I think it's like a multi 8-pack, has 8 different scents, and it's $16. Can't be.
Yeah, yeah, and they're therapeutic grade and everything. So, we've already done the whole sourcing for you, just like the other products up there. We've already tested them. Therefore, we are giving them to you with our endorsement.
Yeah. All right. So one more time, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. Okay. So training recap. Boom. Over to you.
I pretty much have just been trucking along with what I kind of did last week. So yoga, spinning.
Troga.
No troga. I don't do troga. It's not a real thing. Modern Family joke. Anybody?
Treadmill yoga.
But I did try to do HIIT workout. I need to get those back in there.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Use the mobility sticks, I almost tell you.
I know. I still haven't used them. Go grab a stick. But yeah, I haven't even tried them yet, which is
horrible. I'm going to have to show you some moves. I'll show you some moves.
I was actually thinking about doing some yoga with them to pull together a little class or something for future.
I know. Those are what I've been working with as far as my training recaps going. A lot of stick mobility work. But also kind of mobility work in general to keep myself chugging along. My client load has gone up, which is a great thing, which means I'm busier. I'm helping more people, which is awesome. But I've got to keep my body in shape. So mobility is a big part of that. So I'm focusing on that with both the sticks and without the sticks. So some active recovery, not just static stretching, but some actual mobility exercises. So that's a big part of my training right now. All right.
That's cool. Boom. I actually had another
Let me hear it then.
I forgot to put in mine.
Please.
I'm officially a liability insured yoga teacher now.
Mm-hmm. You got the certificate. You're the, what are they called? Oh, RYT? Is that what it says?
Yeah, it's a registered yoga teacher. Yeah. So I'm registered.
And now you're insured.
And now I'm insured as well. So, woo, I can teach classes.
Yep. Don't worry about suing the pants off you.
I still don't even want to think about that. But I went and got my part-time instructor insurance.
Nice.
So that was
congrats. Another step.
That was effective as of the start of the month.
Yet another really step excited. To you teaching a class.
Yes.
I'm excited when that happens. All right, so now get into our main topics of discussion for this podcast. And I'm really happy we're going into these topics because I've been wanting to talk about it for a while and finally get into it. And the first one is the kind of, I would say, the shady methods that companies use to hide sugar on their labels, their food labels.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all like somewhat accustomed to hearing and seeing like how nutrition labels are set up and everything. Mm-hmm. But we're starting to see a lot more products say like, oh, low sugar or, you know, no sugar or whatnot. Yeah. And you look at the label and maybe from just reading the first several ingredients, you don't really see anything that...
You don't see the word sugar.
Puts up a flag that says, oh, that's a lie. But was reading an article from Well and Good, like one of my daily media outlets for wellness and stuff, and they had a series of like talks, like industry talks, and the CEO of Siggy's, the yogurt company, he talked about how he's noticed that some food brands are burying the sugar in their labels on purpose. So really, like, he was kind of saying that it's deceiving consumers. And then in a later discussion at the same event, a nutritionist said that since the ingredient lists are structured from greatest to least amount of product by weight, they said that, yes, if they break up the fact that they are using multiple types of sugar, they don't have to list sugar near the top.
Right.
So they can kind of like lump it in different ways. And dear goodness, there's a crap ton of sugars that can be on a list. Mm-hmm. So you can like, what are some that come to mind when you think of ones you're aware of?
High fructose corn syrup.
Yep.
Then we have the sucrose, which is table sugar. Then, barley malt is one that people aren't normally
used
to.
Oh, yeah, I don't even think about that.
Dextrose, maltose, that toast you hear at the end, that kind of the suffix, right?
Yeah.
That's the end.
Yeah.
The toast, that usually means a type of sugar. Rice syrup, brown rice syrup, that's one I see all the time on, like, protein bars and stuff.
Yeah, and then you get into the tals, the like erythritols.
Yeah, those are usually sugar alcohols.
Sugar alcohols, but it's still a sweetener.
Right. With the sugar alcohols,
different effects and things like that.
They're still doing the research of the sugar alcohols to see what kind of glycemic response
it has. Yeah, some of them
are
pretty low.
Yeah. But they do have their pump, because some of them still, they cause digestive problems. So, but there's, I'm trying to think, I don't know if tapioca starch is one or not, but molasses, you know, maple syrup, that's a sugar.
Honey
is sugar. Agave nectar.
Stevia.
Good. Stevia, yeah, right now that's still considered a zero calorie, but it is a sweetener for sure. But those are some
monk
like...
Monk fruit,
yep. That's another one, too.
Very see, we could. This stevia. Could be a whole podcast. Yeah. We just sit here and list, like, sweeteners and sugars.
For sure. Absolutely.
So, at the end of the day, there can be a lot on this product label that you're not even noticing because you're looking for that sugar, spelled out sugar. So we were kind of intrigued by this, and we went into our pantry. Now, it's the end of the week, so our pantry is actually pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
But we found three things, and kind of like things we feel like would probably be in most people's pantries. So we have a pancake mix from Trader Joe's, the toasted coconut pancake mix. But it's the kind you just add water to, so it's like a premix. We have the hot chocolate, the peppermint hot chocolate from Trader Joe's that I stockpile. And then also we have, for our quote-unquote healthy item, we have, I love how you laugh on that, the Kind Bars.
Yeah.
And these are the dark chocolate cherry cashew plus antioxidants. Because yes. Yeah. You have to list the antioxidants as a separate ingredient on the label. Yeah. So let's quickly go through the first few ingredients on these lists. Mm-hmm. And then we can read farther down how they might be sneaking in some various sugar listings.
All right. So the Kind Bar, the ingredients are cashews, cherry, chicory root fiber, sugar. So that's number four. Fourth most sugar. Almonds, peanuts, honey, another sugar. Palm kernel oil. I don't know if that's a moniker for sugar. I think the other one is palm.
So.
There's actually a palm sugar.
Yeah.
Okay. Glucose syrup. There another sugar. Flour, rice flour, raisins, cranberries, chocolate, and then it goes on and doesn't look like there's any other ones. Unsweetened chocolate. So we have three in the first, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The first 10, there's three ingredients that are sugar. Sugar, honey, glucose syrup. And the first 10 ingredients of the Kind Bar.
Yeah. And this is the healthy,
Yeah. And I mean, we brought them this week. I know. Yeah, I knew this was
chocolate on them.
Yeah. But I mean, total grams of sugar, 11. And then six of them are added sugar. So,
yeah.
And just to give you a little frame of reference, I don't want to jump ahead, but right now the daily recommended amount of sugar per day, 25 grams.
And sugar's in everything. It's freaking
and so this,
everywhere.
If you ate, two of these, you'd be almost at your max amount of sugar per day.
Yeah.
So a can of Coke is almost 1.5 times the amount of sugar you should have in a day. And don't get, I'm getting ahead of myself.
You're going off on a tangent.
Sorry.
So for the coconut pancake mix, we have the first three ingredients are unbleached enriched flour, but then they have the wonderfully used parentheses.
Yes.
So just the parentheses are what's the...
In flour, yeah.
Are what the flour is made of.
Right.
So they follow whatever item they make up. So...
Uh-huh.
Wheat flour, malted barley flour, niacin, iron. Then the next ingredient, full ingredient after the flour is sugar.
Boom.
And then whey powder, and then toasted coconut, which has the parentheses again, and then desiccated coconut, and then sugar, dextrose.
Yep.
And salt.
Yep.
So, I mean, just in the first, literally, what is this? Those four ingredients.
Fourth. Yep.
There's two types of sugar in there.
Yeah, read that.
Three types of sugar.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised because these do have a little sweetness in them. But three types of sugar are three, various, different listings of sugar in here.
And they have 12 grams of sugar per two pancakes.
So
I want the heavy one.
That's probably why I feel like they taste like cake.
Yep. All right, our last one, the hot chocolate. So we'll see. We'll see which one has the most amount of sugar, names, different types of sugar.
Different types of sugar in there.
So far, I think this one might be winning.
I think the Kind Bars have so many.
All right, so we've got the peppermint hot chocolate, bittersweet chocolate, which the first ingredient in that is sugar.
So good.
Mm-hmm. All right, boom, boom, boom. So after the bittersweet chocolate, like I said, first ingredient, sugar. Next ingredient is cane sugar. All right, so we got sugar, followed by sugar.
It's
then
chocolate sugar,
maltodextrin,
followed by regular sugar.
Yeah, maltodextrin, which is also a name for sugar. I believe it's from corn, one of the sugar molecules from corn, natural mint flavors, some stabilizers, and I think that is it for that. So in this one, it's sugar in the chocolate, cane sugar, then maltodextrin.
So actually, they pretty much all have three.
Yeah. But I think the... Well, I don't know. This one might have the most... Well, it's interesting. No, I don't know. Because this is the fourth ingredient of sugar on this one. And then the...
We're not going to get into the whole, like,
I'm not doing math.
Of weighing, but...
I don't do math, guys.
The whole point of this is that, as a consumer, you're sitting here and you're reading various types of sugar listed multiple times throughout your ingredient list, and it's very confusing. Like, you don't have the recipe for all these things, so you don't know how much sugar they're actually putting in. And, you know, as health professionals... You want to know what's going into that food, but the Food and Drug Administration, they also want to know what's going on. So they actually are demanding that labels get another makeover. So they do this periodically, where as research and information and companies start abusing certain things, they lay out new regulations, and they said that brands need to specifically call out the number of grams of added sugar and separate it from the natural occurring sugars, such as that from fruit. And then, as Nick said, if your daily intake is supposed to be a max of 25 grams a day, and sugars in so many things, like, that's going to add up quick.
Right. And it's interesting you mentioned about, obviously, the added sugars, which is an important step.
Yeah.
But don't get, I don't think you should get kind of, not tricked isn't the right word.
Lulled into a false sense of security.
With the natural sugars.
Yes.
Yes, because just because it's natural doesn't mean it's any better. And that goes for fruit sugars, too.
Yeah.
Sugars from fruits. And, you know, what is happening is when they're adding fruit sugar to things... it's taken away from the important fiber and things like that, and the other nutrients that are in a piece of fruit. Like, you're better off eating a piece of fruit than juicing a piece of fruit. You know, you still get nutrients and stuff, but you take away the fiber, and you get a higher insulin spike. We've talked about this before, but one thing that some companies, like pre-made smoothies and pre-made juices, obviously they market the fact that they're healthy. They have all these vegetables and all this stuff like this, but they have more sugar than a can of Coke.
Yeah.
So it can be worse than Coke. So don't get don't be lulled. Would you say lulled in a false sense of security?
Yes,
because it's all natural. That doesn't mean anything, you know. Like, but they say plutonium is natural. Doesn't mean it's a good thing.
Doesn't
mean
it's good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that was the article that we were reading about. The FDA's label changes haven't taken full effect. They actually got delayed. But once they do, the best way to avoid getting tricked is to really familiarize. Sounds like some kind of aerobic workout. Yeah. Familiarize yourself with all the different sugar monikers and really read the lists.
Right.
Like, read the label, the ingredient label, and get to know what that is. And not seeing natural or seeing those natural sugars and thinking that's fine, that's okay. Like, it's as a separate ingredient, not in its whole form, it's not even close to being, like, healthy.
Right.
It still is going to have an impact on your blood sugar.
Yep.
So,
agreed.
Just kind of a topic that we wanted to draw some attention to.
Yep.
Because we've definitely seen those ingredient lists get longer and lots of different names of sugar popping up there. So, edumacate yourself.
Yep. That's what we've talked about. Try to make try to go the least amount of ingredients you can in anything you buy, pre-made food you buy.
Yeah.
You know?
I get excited for short ingredient lists myself.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, the next topic we're going to dive into is something I've been waiting a while to talk about on this podcast. We finally got around to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think for like a year, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think when we started this year, it was definitely one of the topics about kind of what we think was going to be the kind of, maybe it was of 2017, the big health trend.
Uh-huh.
It was maybe that, this was topic, was that, or was it 2017 or 2018 we thought it was going to be big? I remember it was, maybe it was more of the full fat diet or whatever. Anyways, we're talking about keto. We're talking about the keto diet.
Keto diet.
Mm-hmm. Keto is kind of short for, well, actually there's two different versions. And I don't know if maybe you go into this, because Shannon did a great job outlining a lot of the information points, or a lot of the data points we want to talk about keto, is that ketoacidosis, or the ketogenic diet, is a specific diet that kind of really focuses on using ketones as fuel. So normally we use glucose or glycogen as fuel in our body, and now with the keto, you can actually change over and use a different energy source, and there's actually a chemical process involved with that. So the chemical process, and this is going to be kind of a quick overview, and I know if there's anybody listening who is keto right now, and if we miss something, please remind, or please feel free to share what we missed.
Yeah, and we actually pulled some really great information from Mark's Daily Apple by mm-hmm. Mark Sisson, and he is an authority on the keto diet, and he actually is publishing and or already published a book on the subject this year. And we got some really great, he has a wonderful in-depth guide mm-hmm. at pretty much everything you should know about keto going in. And we're going to just try to break it down for you yeah. because it is a lengthy read just as an article.
Trying to do the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, it's like Cliff Notes.
Yeah, and he was actually on Good Morning America, I think, earlier this year, kind yep. of talking about keto.
We'll have that link in there yep. for you, too.
So, quick kind of what happens in the body when your body is basically undergoing the ketogenesis. So, fatty acids are broken down into coenzyme A. This acetyl coenzyme A combines with oxalic acetate. The oxalic acetate and coenzyme A duo starts the Krebs cycle, which is the energy-producing cycle in your body. It produces ATP, which is the body's form of energy. And then, congratulations, you turn fat into energy. And the reason why, obviously, fatty acids, that's what we say. So normally, opposed to, I believe it's glycolysis? I can't remember if it's glycolysis or not. Basically, what we normally go through when we break down glucose to produce our energy is opposed to now, this is we're using fatty acids to produce our energy. So if the supply of acetyl-CoA coenzyme A exceeds the supply of oxalic acetate, the liver converts any excess oxalic, oh my goodness, acetyl-coenzyme A into ketone bodies. And these are basically like energy reserves. Okay, this is, could be your
alternate energy.
Could be an alternative form of energy. So that's what people, when they're on keto, they're surviving off ketones.
Yeah.
Or not surviving, but they're using ketones yeah. to fuel the brain and the body. So, I mean, we've talked to a couple people. The first interview we already ever had on the podcast with Vinny Tortorich, a guy who, you know, coined the NSNG lifestyle, no sugars, no grain. He's essentially in ketosis most of the time. You know,
yeah.
we talked about in his book about how he had to go on that diet and because he was believed that it was his best chance of fighting cancer.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of research that shows how beneficial the ketogenic diet can be to conditions like that.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because this process that you're trying to get your body into, either carbohydrates or protein can actually knock you out of this ketogenic state. So a ketogenic diet is one that really limits carbohydrates and to a lesser extent, even protein, to get your body into that state of ketosis where you're burning fat for energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a state that, like, you're forcing your body into either. This is actually something that your body is in. Like, mm-hmm. it goes into this naturally. And when I was reading about this, I was really interested because humans, like, very easily go into this, whereas animals don't. So it's one of those very unique aspects to humans is that we've got this amazing like switch that our bodies can flip based off of, you know, internal and external conditions that if it needs to, it can flip into ketosis and actually start burning fat as your energy source. So kind of some instances where this happens is like extreme physical exertion. Now, this is probably like we used to do this workout. Triathlons. No, not triathlons. The heavy lifting.
Oh, CrossFit.
CrossFit. There we go. CrossFit athletes. This is like a really probably easy thing for those, any kind of like major extreme physical fitness. Yeah. But
so endurance athletes too.
Yeah. Where you are seriously depleting around half of your stored muscle glycogen, your body flips into ketosis to try to start using that fat supply. But also fasting for a significant time period, probably like for most people are probably like 24 hours. And then, of course, starvation or a significant restriction in your total caloric intake is going to flip that switch because your body basically says, okay, I need to use what I got in order to keep myself going.
Yep.
So these are things that absolutely your body flips into and out of as needed. And like, I guess the biggest question, and this was something I was really interested in, was why would you want to do this then? Why would you basically want to mimic abject starvation if you've got plenty of food sources?
Well, that's an interesting, I think we're seeing why we don't want to do it. Because a lot of the chronic conditions I think we're seeing now, type 2 diabetes and obesity-related conditions, is a result of not being in starvation mode. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think our bodies have changed. And kind of what we're going to talk about here is how, because the way that, food access has changed and everything, we probably aren't treating our bodies the way that we should be. And this is almost like a really good reset for your body. It's kind of what I'm thinking about it as. It's almost, and I think even he referred to it, Mark Sisson referred to it kind of as a reset. Like it's not considered like you have to do this lifestyle unless you do have a chronic illness or you have a state you're trying to battle or prevent or whatnot. But a regular person could absolutely use this as a kind of reset. So, excuse me. The benefits of this, I think, is super, super compelling.
And this is from the article from Mark's Daily Apple, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And this will be linked on our show notes for sure.
Yeah. And now this is going to go into lots of like additional links from his article. So we're just going to link to his. And you can dive in there on any of these that you're interested in. There are probably additional links referring out with like proving the studies that support each of these claims. So I'll let you jump on benefits first.
Right. And a lot of them kind of start with the neural function of how beneficial it can be to your brain health. They've had studies that linked the utilizing of ketone bodies to improve brain conditions, including Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, bipolar disorder, and many psychiatric disorders. A Spanish ketogenic diet, keto with wine, basically.
So, like that.
I know, Shannon loves that one. Cured many people of metabolic syndrome and improved health markers of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. interesting, especially with the wine. But I guess I know we've talked about resveratrol and some other thing beneficial wine.
Wine can be magic.
And then in cancer patients, and we've already kind of mentioned this with Vinnie Tortorich, a keto diet preserves lean mass and causes fat loss. And mild cognitive decline. Ketogenic diet has also been shown to help improve memory, and then also type 1 diabetics who experience reduced cognitive function when their blood sugar is low, increasing ketone production via medium-chain triglycerides can restore that. And you know what a medium-chain triglyceride is?
Yes.
What?
Coconut oil.
Boom. Yep, and we talked about that way back when I think it was American Heart Association tried to say there's no benefits to coconut oil.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think we know what to say to them.
Wrong. All right. So we talked about, we just mentioned it, the keto bodies, how it's so beneficial to brain health and thinking, clearing, you're kind of being more sharp too with brain health. And I think a lot of people, they kind of suffer through that and they don't even realize it. You know, the normal standard American diet is keeping us all in a fog. And you don't know how much more productive you can be, how much clearer you can think.
Yeah.
When you're operating more on ketones than glucose.
Yeah, I mean, I think like one of the side effects or like the feelings that you get is like extreme happiness. Like you get this elevated mood and clarity.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with this. Like, that is one of the effects that you feel. And of course that, like, when you think about it, of course that has to do with diet.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it? Like, so many things are tied back to that. And one of, like, the places that this all started was for kids that were having seizures, that had epilepsy, like chronic epilepsy. And they found that it's the inflammation in the brain, which is caused by what we eat, that was causing a lot of this to happen. And that changing the diet significantly reduced the inflammation and therefore drastically cutting back on the seizures.
Yeah.
And that is, like, when you talk about, like, people that use this to manage chronic illnesses like cancer, a lot of it has to do with the inflammation aspect. And I was listening to a separate webinar just today, actually. It talked about the same thing and talked about how the inflammation that our food causes, and a lot of it is the carbohydrates,
right?
That is really the problem and the amount that we consume. So that's just attached to, like, the mind.
Right.
There are also physical benefits, obviously being you get more energy.
Right.
So, I mean, it creates more mitochondria, makes more energy production.
Basically, the energy production parts of our cells.
Yep. Yeah.
The energy, the power plants.
I was going to call them a little power plant. Yeah. Damn you.
Got it.
At any given intensity, a keto-adapted athlete will burn more fat, less glycogen than a sugar-burning athlete.
Right.
So, hey, if you're an athlete, that's definitely something to keep in mind.
And that's interesting, and that'd be a whole other podcast to talk about. It's like, what sports are better suited for keto and what are better for the sugar burning?
Yeah.
Because I listen to a lot of MMA podcasts, and they talk about how it's tough to be keto and compete.
Right.
You could maybe train keto, and then the last 2 or 3 weeks, people convert back to that kind of high-carb diet to build up their stores to able on for, like, performance night.
Well, and
high output, essentially.
They talk about some of the information that I was looking at. You can, like we said earlier, you don't have to be in ketosis for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You can actually, there's, like, two main diets. There's one that you can actually do 5 days on, 2 days off, and carb load during those 2 days.
Yep.
So that absolutely is something I think probably, like, athletes. And then there's the other option, which I think is, like, you have a very, very low level of carbs that you can include.
Right.
But that would probably be more similar to that Spanish ketogenic diet. Yeah. But that's, I mean, that's really a very interesting side effect and benefit.
And I think the two, because we mentioned endurance athletes earlier, mm-hmm. I think they really gravitate to the keto diet because the stores last a lot longer. The ketones last more than glycogen. Glycogen burns very fast. It's quick. It's easily available. With the ketones and then access and basically burning fat, that takes more time, but it also burns longer.
Yeah, think of like the I'm going to do a really funny reference.
You get an analogy? Let me see.
Yes. Hear it. Fast and the Furious. The nitro boosts that you get when you're in a race, and it's like, oh, I'm going to press the button, and then pshoom, you take off, and then probably like 30 seconds later, put, you're back down to your normal. That's basically mm-hmm. what the sugar aspect of right. energy is. You get like this big old boost, ramps you up, but unless you hit that sucker just right.
Yep.
The guy that was trucking along steady, he's probably going to kick your ass.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh, living my life a quarter mile at a time.
Right. See, was that not like the most random best
wow.
analogy ever?
So good.
I'm so proud of myself.
Well, one thing is that although keto is not a classical weight loss diet, it certainly can help a person lose body fat by reducing insulin, increasing the mobilization of stored body fat, and decreasing appetite. Yes, yes, yes. I feel like we've said this before. I don't know specifically geared towards keto, but the idea of more low carb. When I tried that, when I kind of decided I wanted to go more of a low carb diet, I've always found that I have a decreased appetite for sure. And if people who want to get into fat burning mode, which is kind of the goal, it's what you want to do. If you go into a lot of people, being a trainer, people come to me and say, I want to lose weight. I can tell you right now, exercise, it's good. It's going to help you. It's going to help you in a lot more ways than just losing burning fat.
Right.
What you got to do is you got to do it with your diet. And this type of approach can definitely help that. And they're talking about it too, reducing the insulin. That's huge because basically the over release of insulin is what leads to things like type 2 diabetes and
your body's
metabolic
doing
syndromes.
You're doing so much. I mean, thinking about the whole reason this exists, if you wanted some kind of a sweet item, you know, you wanted that coconut or whatever, you had to work your ass off to get that thing, like super hard. Mm-hmm. It was not just naturally easy for us to get those items.
Yeah.
So
depending where you live, especially.
Yeah. So yep. I mean, like, that is why our body switches into this mode. And now with sugar in everything, our body's working overtime.
Yeah.
To try to keep up. And you need to give it a break. So I mean, some of the kind of additional feelings that you get is that you don't have the urge to snack, that decrease in appetite, and you're satisfied also with less.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get by, I think they said like it's 20 to 30 grams per day of mm-hmm. carbohydrates
yep.
is what you get by with when you're on the ketogenic diet. And the trendy benefit, the reason that this is starting to pop up, and we actually did check the most recent Google searches, the Google search trends, and they, right now, keto diet is at the peak of its search popularity.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been searched more than it is right now. It spiked like last June, and it is now like at the highest it's ever been for
right.
keto diet. So, I mean, it is on people's minds for real. It's mainstream. And people are looking at this because mostly they want to lose weight.
Yep. And I say, you know, obviously talk to your physician. But I think a good place to start is just start minimizing the carb intake, specifically refined carbs, you know, obviously fibrous carbs, so low glycemic fruit, those are still pretty good, you know, those still have a lot of benefits, but those refined carbs, you really got to start limiting those drastically, and I think that'll help that, and then start to stop being afraid of fat, you know, don't think just because fat, they say it, you know, the worst thing that happened to fat was that it was called fat, you know? So don't be afraid of fat. Avocados, olive oil, coconut oil.
Good fats.
Good fat, yes. And then obviously protein, fat and protein. Animal protein contains animal fat, which can be good too. But then there's also vegan sources of fat. I already mentioned avocado. There are some beans that might have it, but I'm trying to think of, like nut butters that are a great source of fat too.
Yeah.
For vegan or anything like that. And then obviously as we already mentioned, you want to incorporate your protein. So
yeah, the thing at the end of the day is that this is not going to be quote unquote a diet. When you talk about a lifestyle, the ketogenic diet really is going to require some lifestyle changes on your part. And we even kind of saw some mention and recommendations around your body's like really having to relearn how to process.
Yeah.
So you need to give this like 6 weeks just to start. And you might feel kind of a negative backlash in the beginning because your body that's been so reliant on sugar is now switching gears.
Yep.
And withdrawal. That change, so like they call it the keto flu.
Yeah.
And I mean, That sounds enough to discourage some people, I'm sure.
Sure is, yep.
But there are ways of managing that, and this is not something you would approach lightly. This is not a I'm not gonna eat bread.
Right.
It's like, oh no, this is way beyond that.
Right.
Like you really have to do some research and put some thought into this. But heck, we just gave you a really great resource. Marcus Ishin has some amazing information, and there's a lot more stuff popping out all over the place now about this.
Right. And, you know, we on both our pages, the at ET Tampa and then Shannon, we love sharing pictures of our food and our food prep and our dinners. And a lot of them are usually pretty low carb. That's what we try to, try to stick to that. So, it's always can look for us for a resource too, but you know, if you're really interested in this, not only check out our links that Shannon mentioned, but I'd say consult a professional, because
this
definitely can take some help. You should certainly find a professionals, because and if they say you shouldn't do it, I get another opinion, honestly.
Well, especially
I'm confident
if you're
to say that,
like,
obviously depending on
talk to your doctor,
yes,
but then if you're really interested in this and you've already consulted your doctor wasn't necessarily, doctors are not necessarily nutrition savvy.
Right.
They are not taught to treat people with food. Food is not medicine for them. Go to a nutritionist, someone that is specifically trained in food as like, you know, the actual health treatment for you.
Right.
Doctors are not, they're the ones that are going to tell you whether or not stabilizing your insulin levels or reducing them is going to help you.
Yeah.
How you get there, probably want to consult a nutritionist.
Right. And not saying that the people who have been doing nutrition, hopefully all nutritionists are up to date on the most current research.
Yeah, I mean,
make sure you do your research,
make sure
on
they understand
where the qualifications are, because if they essentially poo-poo the keto diet without even giving it a second thought, I think you should find somebody else, because I think there's a tremendous amount of research behind the benefits of the keto diet. Doesn't mean it will be for you, but somebody should really consider you doing it. You know what I mean? They shouldn't necessarily just like laugh at you when you mention keto.
Yeah, and they might have the idea that this is not really a diet as a lifestyle. This started as a treatment. The ketogenic diet started as a treatment for people who were really sick. And then a lot of other fad diets, like the Atkins diet, actually sprang out of this.
Absolutely.
And now we've all seen and heard the horrible backlash that some of those fad diets got.
Right.
So this whole idea that the keto diet is new, it's actually been around quite a while.
Right. And then the thing about the Atkins, we're going to go off on a tangent, but when I had family members who went on Atkins, they lost weight.
They absolutely did.
Now,
but
unfortunately, I think they became more of, I mean, now they got Rob Lowe as a freaking spokesman, and they got products and Atkins products. So they went a little bit mainstream. But the theory behind the Atkins was, you know,
high protein.
I think there was a little bit less on the fibers, carbs, and vegetables, which I'm not a huge fan of. I like vegetables. I think they're very important.
Yeah, they had you cutting them out, like going through phases of cutting them out.
And that's why you need a professional to help you, to tell you which numbers, how many grams of carbs you should have, what type of carbs you should have, if you could subtract the fibers, carbs, when you're adding up your carbs for the day. That's what a professional will help you do.
Yeah, so we are going to be on the lookout for those kinds of professionals in the future to bring to you right here on our podcast and bring you more information about this and other of our favorite and most interesting health topics.
Yep.
But this is, I mean, we just scratched that surface today. There's a lot more about this. And I mean, heck, I saw it on laurenconrad.com.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew. I was like, oh, it's time we talked about this. This is mainstream if LC is talking about this.
Okay. I don't know who Lauren Conrad is. Who's Lauren Conrad?
It's probably a good thing you don't know.
All right, good.
If you did, I might judge you.
Nope. Let's keep it there.
Laguna Beach?
Okay, no.
MTV?
Nope.
No?
Okay. Not happening. All right. So, once again, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com to see all these awesome links we talked about, especially the big one from Mark Sisson, but many of them from there, too. The show notes will be in the show notes, so check it out. Check out our shop page and all our great affiliates, Stick Mobility, the Hemp Coffee Exchange, and Amazon. Of course, you guys support us, and you guys can support the podcast and keep that free info coming out to you on a weekly basis. So, got anything else for him?
I'm done.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.